I'm going to get into it here. This message God laid on my heart Tuesday night during prayer. And if you're ever praying and a scripture pops into your head. Now, I'm not saying like, you know, by your stripes he is healed scripture. I mean, like a lot of times when I'm praying, I will think like something specific like, you know, Isaiah 3:1, and I'm like, I have no idea what that is. And I look it up, and every single time it means something. Like, it's amazing the way that God does that. So if things like that pop into your mind, even if you're not able to, write them down. So as I was praying, God threw this verse in my mind, and I looked it up, had no idea what it was, and it's, I'm telling you, this is going to change your life today. All right? You guys receive that? The word of God, not my words, the word of God is going to change your life today. So, if I was to ask most of you what the most important part of Christianity is, not what Jesus has done, but what our most important response, our most important thing is, what would you guys say? This isn't really a trick question. I just want to know what you guys would say. Anybody? Yeah. Praying? Yeah. What's that? Yeah, trusting in the Lord. Those are all part of it. Being humble, that's a part of it. It all comes down to one main thing, a relationship with Christ. And those things all tie into that. You have to have those things to have a relationship with him. So we would say that and we would be right. All those answers are right because they're all part of a relationship with Christ. And there's a saying that's gone around for years. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. How many of you have said that? I want to see hands. I've said it, okay? Usually, especially people in the Spirit-filled church say that all the time. It's not about religion, it's about relationship, because we like to do whatever we want to do. But I really, hopefully, sincerely believe that we're trying to do what we're led to do, not just what we want to do. But that saying is good. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. But why do we say that? Do we say it because it's true to us? Like, do I say that because it's true to me, that I believe that? Do I say it because it's actual truth, that I found it in the Word? Or do I say it because I've been told that a number of times, or I've been trained to answer that way? That's a question we all need to ask ourselves. But that statement that it's not about religion, it's about a relationship, it's similar to what would Jesus do? They're both awesome, they're both phenomenal and powerful if we can grasp them, but they're both so overused and so cliche that to most people they mean nothing. And so I shared a couple weeks ago about a testimony that a friend shared with me, and he heard this message, and towards the end of the message there was a statement that stood out to him, and it was this: there is nothing more important in life than your relationship with Jesus. Now, as he shared this with me, he said, that statement alone changed my life. Absolutely changed my life, because he didn't just hear it, but he got it. Like, it really meant something to him. There's nothing more important in this life than our relationship with Christ. And so, a lot of times, a statement like that doesn't impact our lives, and we just tend to be Christians that go through the motions, ultimately living for ourself instead of for God. How many of you have heard the Matthew West song, Going Through the Motions? I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to live one more day without your all-consuming fire inside of me, okay? Like, we get that way. Where we're Christians, we go through the motions. We get the busyness of life going on, and we do just whatever we have to do. And we may love Jesus, but our relationship with him often gets shifted to the back, right? Like, I'm not an early morning person, so I can't get up early and pray and spend time with the Lord. Well, I got busy in the evening, so I didn't have time during the evening. I only get so long for lunch. I'm busy this and this and this. So I go back to the question, is a relationship with Christ the most important thing in the life of a Christian? I believe that it is. If we look through the book of Hosea, you see Israel is doing exactly this. They're going through the motions of religion. It was a nation of unfaithful people. They're quickly falling away from God because they were missing something. So if you guys would, if you have a Bible and you want to turn there, otherwise it'll be up here. Hosea chapter 4, if you want to turn there, chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to pray while you're turning there. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. I thank you that it's impactful, that it's powerful, that it's life-changing. And today I pray that your spirit would give us revelation of the truth of your word, that you would use this to change our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. So it's kind of a twofold. There's no truth or mercy is one. Or, another way to say it, there's no knowledge of God in the land. This is a rebuke by God, okay, via the prophet Hosea. But it's a rebuke by God of Israel. And notice what that rebuke is. The rebuke is there's no truth or mercy. Or another way to say it, there's no knowledge of God in the land. Now, how many of you know that they knew about God? Okay, they knew that God was there. They knew God existed. But that word isn't talking about a head knowledge of God, knowing of his existence. The Hebrew word there is da'ath, which means knowledge of God in the highest sense. It's not that they didn't know of God. It's that they didn't know God. They didn't know him personally. They didn't have a relationship. This is the rebuke. The rebuke is, hey, Israel, you don't know God. You don't know him. This is referring to an intimate fellowship with God, not just understanding who he is. And so they rejected a relationship with God. Now, if you reject a relationship with God, guess what you lack? Truth and mercy. It's not there if you don't have a relationship with Christ. Sorry. It's fact. It's in the Bible. But they were lacking this. Truth and mercy are not present where there's self-seeking, where there's self-serving, which is exactly what they were doing, because those are fruit of a relationship with Christ. See, there's more to a relationship with Christ than just reading the word and praying. How many of you realize that? There's more to it than that. We're like, well, wait a minute, but reading is hearing from God and praying is talking to God. Like, how could there be more to a relationship than that? I mean, right? Talking and listening, isn't that what there is to a relationship? Sort of, but it takes more than that. It also takes sacrifice. It takes dedicating time. It takes fellowshipping with him. It takes a constant effort. It takes selflessness. It takes desire. It takes passion. All of these things, and way more. These are just things that I thought of. There's way more than that. It doesn't work in an earthly relationship, and it doesn't work in a relationship with God. The lack of all those things. In Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23 says, this is Jesus speaking, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, this is a very, very true reality, okay? There are people all across the world right now doing things in the name of Christ. They may be going to church. They may be serving in the church. They may be praying for people and seeing them healed. They may be doing all these wonders. And they're not going to heaven. It's a fact. It's what Jesus says. It's not about what you do. It's about who you know. It's not about what you do. This is a warning from Jesus about self-deception. Okay, these people thought that they were right with God. I mean, that's why they're like, wait a minute, Lord, look at all these things that I've done. And you're telling me I'm not going in? I mean, it's self-deception. They're being deceived, and they're being deceived by their self, not by God. You can't claim that he's Lord without obedience to the will of the Father. It says right there, you shall not enter the kingdom unless you do the will of the Father. So what is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is that we stop making decisions for ourselves and do what God wants us to do. That's the will of the Father. The will of the Father is that we don't walk in the flesh, but instead we walk in the Spirit. The will of the Father is that we, one, love God, and two, love people. And how do we do all that stuff? By the power of Christ in us, by a relationship with him, by knowing him. By knowing Jesus and not just knowing who he is, but a real, thriving, genuine relationship with him. But here's what God says through Hosea will happen otherwise, without that relationship in Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Who's destroyed? God's people. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. People are destroyed when they have a lack of knowledge, when they have a lack of a relationship with Christ. Because remember, this knowledge is knowing God in the highest sense. It's knowing him, who he is. If we don't have that relationship, it will destroy us. That's what the Word of God says. But it's not like God's just mean. He tells us why. Because when we don't have that relationship with him, it's for one reason. One reason. Because we've rejected knowing him in this way. We've rejected a knowledge of him. We've chosen not to do it. That's why it destroys you. You don't choose to do it. If you don't have this thriving relationship with Christ, it's because you have rejected the opportunity to do it. How many of you guys know that? We're all responsible for ourselves. I tell my kids this. Seems like I tell people this every day, that we're all responsible for ourselves. We make those choices. And when we don't have that relationship with Christ, we rejected the opportunity to have it by being selfish. By being selfish. And you think about a marriage, the relationship between a husband and a wife. If our entire relationship was based on, I sit at home and I read letters that my wife writes to me about her life. Like probably sitting on the same couch, or maybe I'm in the recliner and she's on the couch. I'm just sitting there reading letters that she's wrote to me. And then I write letters to her. I don't even give them to her because we don't have a relationship really. It's just maybe I leave it on the counter and she reads mine. How many of you think that we would really know each other? I might know a lot about her. I might know a lot about what she likes, what she doesn't like, how she feels, but would I really know her? Absolutely not. You may feel like you do, okay? Sometimes you read a book or whatever and you're like, man, I feel like I've known that person all my life, you know? You get that because of all the information, but you don't really know the person. But yet we do the same exact thing with God. We don't set aside that dedicated time to spend with him. I'll read his word. I'll pray to him. I may write in a prayer journal. But you don't spend any time with him. If it doesn't work on earth between a husband and a wife, it's not going to work between you and God. There has to be that dedicated time. And if we don't have that thriving relationship in our marriages, or even in friendships for people that aren't married, you're not excluded. It's the same way with a friend. You really get to know a friend by spending time with them, not by just texting each other, okay? But if we don't have that kind of relationship, we need to do a heart check. Maybe we've rejected the opportunity to get to know that person. Maybe we're being selfish. Because marriages and relationships between friends, they're destroyed for the same reason, a lack of really knowing each other. They're destroyed for those reasons. You hear we grew apart, or he changed, or she changed. And really, there's a lack of genuine intimacy. There's a lack of knowing each other. It's the same reasons, that our relationship with God is poor. If we don't know Jesus personally, the word says that we'll be destroyed, and it's our fault. It's because you've rejected the knowledge, the opportunity to know him more, and because you've forgotten the law of your God. It's neglect on your part. It's the choices that you make. So, how do we remedy the problem? Okay, it's great to point out a problem, but you know what? If you come to me, if you come into my office and you want to list off a bunch of problems, you better have answers. You better have suggestions on how we can remedy them, or don't waste my time. I'm telling you that as a pastor. If you want to just come in and complain, you better give me some possible solutions. Well, God's telling them, here's your problem, but don't be discouraged. I've got the solution. Hosea 6, 1 and 2 says, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. This is speaking of God's healing and his restoration, that he knows when we fall short. He knows our heart. Remember the, like, whatever, the blessing and the curse at the same time, that God knows your heart. It's like the thing that everybody uses to pretend like they're a good person, but in all reality, it's the most terrifying thing about God, is that he knows your heart. But there's no need to fake it when we fall short, because he knows our heart. We need to turn to him. When our relationship with him is lacking, we don't beat ourselves up and like, I'm never going to make it. No, we turn to him. You start again. It's like people that exercise. You'll exercise for like 2 weeks and then like you get busy and you don't do it anymore. And then you wait till next year and make a New Year's resolution and exercise for like 3 days and you don't do it again and you wait. Okay, stop doing that. When you get off schedule and you kind of mess up, just try it again. It's not like, you know, you don't have to just, well, I guess I'm never going to be able to do this. Well, quit giving up. If you really want to get in shape, then keep trying. You're going to miss days. If you really want a good relationship with God, there's going to be days where you fall short. I'm telling you right now, every single person in here, there's days you are going to miss it and you're going to mess up. It doesn't mean that you just give up. It means you continue to try. There's no reason to run from him, but instead we return to him, because when we do, he heals us, he revives us, he raises us up so that we may live in his sight. That's a good God right there. And in Hosea 6:3, continuing on, says, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. It says, let us pursue the knowledge of God. This is the exact same word, this word knowledge. Every time I've said knowledge, it means the same thing. Knowledge in the highest sense, knowing him personally, an intimate relationship. It says, let us pursue that intimate relationship with God. And if the church would get this right here, I believe we'd see a shift in the atmosphere in the church. I believe we'd see a shift in the atmosphere across the world. Because if the church would pursue an intimate knowledge of Christ, And believers personally would pursue this intimate knowledge of Christ, how much different would the church be? Just think about what it would look like if every single one of us really, truly had a relationship with Christ. It'd be awesome. It'd be amazing. And I believe that we can get there. But we need to seek the Lord on a daily basis, and first and foremost on our own, okay? This, what we're doing now, is awesome. It's a privilege. It's what God designed for us to do, for the most part. But if we don't have that personal relationship on our own, this right here doesn't do much for you. It really doesn't. This does very minimal for you if you don't develop that relationship. You're here to be built up and encouraged and equipped to do the work of the kingdom. That's why we're here. You're not here to have a relationship with God. Now, maybe you are if you don't know him, but once you know him, that's on you. It's not on the people of the church for you to have a relationship with Christ. They may be able to encourage you and push you the right way, but they can't do that work for you. But we got to seek the Lord on a daily basis as his people. And also, I believe in corporate prayer. I believe in gathering together and praying. That's pursuing God, really going after him. And ask yourself just right now, am I really pursuing Jesus in your own personal life? Am I pursuing him? Now, if you're not, then today's that day. I hope that God will revive that fire inside of you and let you seek him and pursue him. But I want to follow up on what pursue really means. Pursue means to chase after, to follow after, to run after. That's probably what all of you thought that it meant. But there's a little bit more to it. It means to fight, to harass, and to aim to secure. How many of you have done that with the Lord? How many of you have harassed him? Okay, I know that there's many of you that probably have. How many of you have really harassed him? How many of you have aimed to secure him? It's like, you know, whatever. Like someone steals your purse. Well, someone steals a woman's purse, and after they meet TJ, they're probably going to end up back on their back after they get trained. But someone steals a woman's purse, or maybe your wife's purse. You think about that like pursuit. Like, I mean, you're aiming to capture them, right? You're aiming to just grab a hold of them and not let them go, to secure them until the cops get there, right? How many of you have done that with Jesus? How many of you have aimed to secure him? Like, Lord, you are not getting away from me. Whatever it takes, I'm going to chase you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to harass you like Jacob did. You think about Jacob wrestling with God. He's like, nope, I'm wrestling with you. You ain't getting away from me. I mean, and you know, God takes out his hip and he's like, doesn't matter. He didn't let go. He chased God. He harassed him. He aimed to secure him. And if we would only run after Jesus, aiming to secure his presence in our life, if we would just harass him with this passion to know him more, you know what it says in Hosea? He will come to us like the rain. If then, it's conditional, if you chase after God, if you go after him, harass him, aim to secure him, if you do that, he will come like the rain. But not just to you. There's more to it. He goes on to say he'll come like the latter and the former rain. Where? Is it up there? No. He'll come like the former and the latter rain to the earth. It doesn't say to you. It says that if you pursue him, he'll come like the rain. And then he will come like the former and latter rain to the earth. This is what we need to do. This is why we need to pursue God. It's not about you. It's not just so that you can have a better life. If we as believers would pursue him, He will not just pour his spirit out on us, but to the earth. You want to know what the word earth means? It means earth. The whole earth, the inhabitants of the earth. If we would pursue God, he would pour out his spirit on the entire earth, all the inhabitants of the earth, just like you see in Joel, like the prophecy in Joel. That's what this is referring to. He will do that if his people pursue him. If you want change on the earth, if you want things like ISIS to be put to a halt, if you want this nation that is disgustingly wicked, that you can't even watch a football game without seeing a half-naked woman on a Hardee's commercial, I want to sue Hardee's. Like, Hardee's disgusts me. They did have some, like, poker player the other day I saw on there, Phil Hellmuth. I was like, oh, I can actually watch this? Usually I about want to throw my TV out the window. It's so disgusting. If we want to see things like that changed, there's one thing that we have to do, and that is pursue the Lord. You pursue the Lord in your own life, not for other people. Lord, you know, change President Obama. That's good. It's fine. But there's no reason to pray that if you're not praying for yourself. You pray for change on the earth, it starts with you. It's what it says. You pursue the Lord, and he will pour out his spirit on the entire earth. He will send the rain, but it starts with you. It starts with you. If you guys would stand to your feet in this place, I want to pray. Like everybody to bow their head and close their eyes. And today, if you answer this call right here, nobody's looking. I'm not even looking. This is between you and God. If you answer this call today, in a moment when I ask you to, I want you to raise your hands in the air while I pray for you. But guys, this is real. If you're not going to do it, if you have no intention of doing it, don't raise your hands. Now, if you have fear of doing it and you think that I'll try it and I'll probably mess up and I'll probably give up, don't give up. Don't listen to the enemy. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. There's no reason to fear that we're going to fail God, because you're going to fail him. But you keep trying. You pursue him. Go after him, trying to secure him in our lives. Right now, if you are going to answer this call and you are going to pursue God in your own life, with the expectancy not only that he's going to work in your life, but that he's going to change this world because of our hungry pursuit of him, I want you to raise your hands right now. And I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. God, we thank you so much for these words that you spoke through Hosea. Lord, as we see where we fall short, as we see where maybe we become lazy, we become self-seeking and self-serving, and we don't seek you and put you first. Lord, I pray right now that you'd reveal it to our hearts. Lord, show us how we can change our lives, how we can reorganize and reprioritize our lives to put you first. And I pray right now for every person with their hands raised, right now, by the power of your spirit, that you would ignite a new flame inside of us. Lord, give us that hungry pursuit of you, Lord. Give us that zeal, that desire, that passion, that we would not give up in pursuing you, that we would chase you, we would harass you, we would aim to secure you. Lord, we need your presence in our lives. And I pray right now for every person with their hands raised that you would give them that passion, that desire on a level that they have never experienced in their lives. Lord, give us hunger for you. Lord, those who thirst, hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And I just proclaim that over every person that's answering this call today. Lord, use us to change this world. Lord, as we seek you, as we desire you, as we chase after you, Lord, we pray that you would come like the rain across this earth, that you would pour out your spirit, not just upon us right here today, but every single person, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit across the inhabitants of this earth. Use us today to change this world for your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, awesome. Were you guys blessed by that message today? That's the kind of message that I want God to give me, where he gives me a verse and I'm like, that's incredible. It's amazing. It's revelation.